have to turn off or silence your cell phones. And I would like to introduce our first speaker, whose name is Michelle.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
I'm Michelle, and I'm an addict.
Hey, Michelle.
And I give you the usual I'm nervous conversation, but we've all said it, so everybody knows I'm nervous. My topic is More Will Be Revealed, and so when I first heard this was my topic, I was like, oh, God, there's so many things that have been revealed to me since I've been here. I do remember in the beginning, you know, sort of like we say, keep coming back. Can you hear me? Talk into it. Okay. I mean, this is my first time at a mic. So anyway, so saying more will be revealed was sort of like something people said. One of those annoying, like, keep coming back, you know, more will be revealed, thanks for sharing, you know, just one of those, like, in the beginning that was just so, like, why do they keep saying that, you know, or go to a meeting, you know, those things that people said. So I just found it, you know, just, it didn't really mean anything to me back then. And then I heard things like the peeling of the onion. You know, just things like back then were like, why are they saying these weird things? But, you know, being around here, these have become so real to me because I can't even, I wouldn't have enough time to say in this meeting or in 20 minutes all of the things that have been revealed to me since I've been here. So I'll try to touch on a couple of them. And I hope somebody gets something out of it. In the reading, it talks about we come in here and our personalities are fractured. And so that means I came in here, not only was I fractured, but my whole personality was fractured. And I agree with that now. I'm still a little fractured from time to time. But the good news and the blessing of recovery is that when I'm doing something and I'm fractured, my personality is kind of off. Because things have been revealed to me, I can identify it right away, and I can choose if I want to correct it. If I want to act out on anger, I can do it if I want to, or I can choose to not. So, you know, I don't spend a lot of time anymore thinking about if my disease of addiction is innate, or is it environment, or, you know, all that analysis is just unnecessary. The point is that I feel like I was predisposed from the very beginning. You know, was it something in my brain makeup? I don't know. But I grew up, you know, in a dysfunctional, like, not normal family. And not by anybody's fault, you know. I don't blame anymore. I grew up in New York in a predominantly Jewish neighborhood in the Bronx, and you know, I lost my mother, died at a very when I was a baby, so right there was the beginning. You know, I didn't have a mother and a father and a table, family table at dinner like the other kids. You know, I went to school and they talked about what they were going to do with their mommies and their daddies and their little families. And when I went home, it wasn't like that. My dad was a bachelor with two young girls, and he was clear about being a bachelor, you know. You know, he didn't try to really protect us from it. You know, he wanted another woman, and it was clear because he had a lot of them, you know, and he was gonna find one or two or three. So that was the beginnings, and there was always somebody there to take care of my sister and I when we got home. And, you know, it could have been, it was maybe somebody different every now and then. But I remember feeling different right then, you know. And all of these things I'm talking about right now, they weren't revealed to me, like, at that age or even when I was using. But, you know, since I've been clean, you know, you go over your story and you try to kind of identify, like, where did it start? Like, what happened? You know, why, you know, when I was doing certain drugs when I was 13, they didn't affect me. But then that one drug, you know, that one drug that made me feel like all of those weird feelings that I had about who I was and who I wasn't and who I want to be and who you were, and I wanted to be like you. And I did that one drug, and it made me feel like none of that shit mattered, you know, and I was gone, you know, I was gone. And I don't know why that happened, but I know now it's because I had the disease of addiction, and I hated myself, you know. And hate is a strong word, but I hated myself. And I couldn't even tell you that I hated myself, you know, when I was using or when I got clean. I couldn't tell you that I loved myself. I was cool. I was good. I was using. I was, you know, fucked up most of the time. I had some good friends who I used with. And it wasn't until the very end that I knew that it wasn't normal, you know, that I couldn't stop and other people could. And that I took myself to the point that I did. And then I swore that I wouldn't do it again, and then I did it again. You know, I knew there was something going on with that, like somewhere in the back of my mind. So what happened was, you know, growing up, you know, all of that happened. And so I never felt like I really fit in. And like I said, drugs took me to the level where I started to feel like that. So coming in here, you know, the things that have happened, I don't have to go into my whole story because it was bad. You know, drugs took me to another, I'm sure all of us know the whole war story thing. But coming in here and being around for a little while, I realized things have been revealed to me. Like, I, you know, I'm trying to touch on the biggest ones. And one of the big ones for me that I didn't know until I worked my fourth and my fifth step is that fear. For me, fear and hurt make me angry, you know. I didn't know that, you know. I said I wasn't scared of anything. I really wasn't scared of anything. Well, I thought I wasn't scared of anything, but I was filled with fear and still am today. And what it does to me is instead of me telling you, you hurt my feelings, you know, I'm angry with you. You know, I'm angry that you did that, you know. What happens is I'm scared, I'm fearful, I become fearful, and then I don't process it properly, you know, and I become angry, I become mean, and I'm hurt, and I don't know how to do that, you know, and coming in here, I know how to do it, and most recently, I have an example of that. I have a sister that's 10 months. We're 10 months apart, and we're very close. And we're very much alike, so we can't really be around each other for long periods of time. So, you know, okay, 2 or 3 days, that's about it. It's like, get out. You got to go. But I don't say it. I'm nice now, you know. You know, I'm different. So I try not to get in arguments, you know. I really do, because I don't see the point in them anymore. And whereas she's not in the program, she'd be perfectly willing to go toe-to-toe with me in an argument. You know, I mean, it might bother her, but it's not going to bother her like it bothers me. So for years, I've been clean a while, and when I was using, I moved a lot. You know, I don't know if anybody else did, but I was always getting, like, put out for whatever reason. You know, it's like, oh, you can't live here anymore. So I had this basic staple of items that I carried with me wherever I went. Like, it was a chair, a lamp. It was a couple things, but anyway, it could fit in the backseat of somebody's car. And so one time I moved, and this was like a good move. This wasn't a using move. This was like a real live move, you know. And she had some trunk. She was staying with me for a while. She had some trunk of stuff. And it was just too much for the car. You know, like back then, I didn't care. It didn't fit. Leave it. You know, it's not mine. Just leave it. And it had like her, I'm not going to say it sarcastically, It had her high school yearbook in it with all of her like love letters from her boyfriend and, you know, stuff that she could never get back, you know. And so I've been hearing about this trunk for 27 years, okay? So that's one thing. And then at some time during my using, I moved in with my older sister in New York. And her husband were using really bad. And, like, of course, they were worse than me, I thought. And they thought I was worse than them. But I had, like, some leather pants, because, you know, we all had leather pants back then. And I had a leather jacket. And they sold it. Now, the leather pants I had were not mine. They were my sister's. So, for 27 years, I've been hearing about this trunk and those leather pants. So I always said, every time she says it, and this is with 26 years clean, I still haven't taken care of this, right? So every time she says it, I become angry. You know, and what I would say to her is, why do you keep talking about that shit? Leave it alone. It's gone. It's 27. You know what I mean? Like, I just would, in my head, but I would let her get it out and not say anything. So she was with me this weekend. She came to visit, and she did it. She did it again. We were in the car. You didn't care about that trunk. Remember that trunk? You know, and I'm like, I can't believe this girl is doing this. You don't care about those leather pants. You just sold my leather pants. You know, and I'm like, I was like, you know, I didn't sell them. And I told her my other sister sold them. I mean, that was, like, ridiculous. And then I got to the point where I was like, you know what? When you keep bringing that up, and I couldn't believe it, I said, it hurts me, you know? I mean, it hurts me, because I couldn't identify when I got here. I thought what she said made me angry, but it hurt me because it brought that back up for me. And you know what? What an easy thing to identify, but I couldn't identify it until, like, last week. And I've been here for a while, and I said it to her. I couldn't believe it. I said, you know, I'm sorry about your leather pants. I mean, I'm so emotional, but I'm sorry about your leather pants. I'm sorry about your fucking trunk with the yearbook in it. I'm sorry, you know? And I also said, but it hurts me when you keep bringing it up. And you know what? I have a feeling we're not going to hear about that trunk or those leather pants again. Because she said, well, fine, you know. She had to get a dig in. She's like, I didn't know that it hurt you, but really, you've never apologized for it. So I said, well, I'm apologizing now. I kept it going. Because really, like, 20 years, okay, even like 2 years ago, I would say that would have turned into, like, the biggest. I would have said, I just apologized. Like, what do you want? You know, but I didn't. I kept it going, and I said, I'm apologizing now. So I hope we don't hear about that again. But that's just an example of, you know, that was revealed to me that I know for me that anger causes hurt. You know, that fear causes anger and hurt. I don't know how to express those things, you know. And but I've never, you know, sometimes I can't really put it together, you know, in order to take care of a situation. So, you know, that's a biggie for me. You know, also, I have some other, I'm getting, like, losing my train of thought. You know, just the basic thing of starting to know myself, you know, just the fact that I can come in recovery and I can finally be myself, you know, not all the time. I still have a problem, like, you know, it says in the reading, we don't have to feel inferior or superior anymore, you know, because I'm either one of those things. Either I feel inferior to you or I feel superior to you. And I don't have to feel any of that anymore. I can kind of, like, it talks about the best way to be is to be yourself. And that's so hard for me because I'm so afraid if I'm myself, you're going to get to know me and then you're going to judge me and, you know, what are you going to think about me? And that all comes from back then, you know. I never, like I said, I never liked myself. So I didn't want to be myself. I wanted to be anybody else but me. you know, like growing up, I, you know, I remember that when I was younger, this woman used to take care of us, and I remember as a little girl, she said, "You are an ugly little girl," and you know, I carried that with me forever, you know. And when I was about 7, my father did remarry, and you know, she was the best mother in the world. I mean. But I do remember in the beginning, I think she thought I was kind of nuts, like maybe she wanted to put me in some type of therapy. Because I used to come home and I would ask her, "Am I ugly?" And she would always say, "What's wrong with you? Like, you know, what's going on? Like, why are you asking me that?" And I would just never tell her why. I just wanted to make sure, like, I wanted that, I want somebody to make me feel okay. And so, really today, I don't really need to have people make me feel okay. I don't. You know, did I know when I got here that I was codependent? No. I didn't. I thought I didn't really give a shit about anybody. You know, I only cared about myself. It was sort of like what you could do. I didn't do anything for anybody with no strings attached. That was out of the question. You know, whatever, you had to do something for me. You know, when I came in here, you know, really it was all about getting some food for me because I was hungry all the time. So I would make sure that, you know, the guy that I met when I got clean, I mean, it sounds, I liked him, he's a nice guy, but I remember he used to always take me out to eat, you know, and I loved that. Like I would use for like a week and then I would call him, I'd be like, "I really messed up, you know, my rent, whatever, but where are you going to go eat?" You know, it's like, and he would take me like to these buffets, you know, and Bob's Big Boys, and I would just like eat, you know, I was starving, you know. And he would take me to the meetings too, and I liked those kind of. But, you know, yeah, not as much as the food. So I, you know, that's another thing. I don't really need that much of, you know, affirmations of, you know, who I am. Am I okay? I didn't know that, you know, codependence was part of my story, you know, because, like I said, I didn't think that, you know, I had that in me. But, you know, I became codependent. I found out I was codependent when I had about 10 years clean. And this is just something revealed to me. I didn't know I had relationship addiction. I didn't know that I always had to have a man. I mean, I would like, wouldn't even pass the baton and I'd be looking for the next one, you know. So, you know, I didn't know that either. I always wanted a man. I always wanted someone in my life, you know. And it's normal. But it's not normal when you have the next one lined up, you know, or when you have 2 or 3 going at the same time. There's something wrong with that. You know, today I don't have that, you know. I don't have, well, I kind of still do, but anyway, I don't have a lot of attachments everywhere. I have the attachments, but they're just not that intense. Can I justify that? I mean, I have them, but they don't preoccupy my life the way they used to. Let me just clear that up. I still have them, but they don't preoccupy my life the way they used to. I'm more I'm more self-assured. There you go. Thank you. Yeah, I'm more self-assured. I don't need it. I don't need it. In other words, it's just like I can take it or leave it. Put it that. That's the way to put it. Take it or leave it. But and hopefully I'll find an attachment that has everything I need because I want everything. I want the whole package. Don't be missing anything because then. anyway, so like the codependence thing, I really didn't know I had that either. That was very much revealed to me. When I had 10 years clean, I got into a relationship in here. I met a guy at a picnic, and I was with him for a couple of months, and he used, and I stayed. I never share that in meetings because that caused me so much shame. You know, people in here, they couldn't really identify with that. you know, not with 10 years clean, you know, and I stayed, you know, and it is what it is. And I became very codependent with this guy. And sexual addiction is part of that story too, because I didn't become codependent for nothing. You know what I mean? So if anybody gets my drift. So I became addicted to that intimacy that I had with him. And I didn't know that I could. So it really didn't matter if he was just losing. I had it all rationalized. Just don't use in front of me, you know. And, you know, just as long as you taking care of what I'm getting my hit off of. Like, he got his hit, but then I got mine. So, you know, it was a whole messy situation. And I became codependent, not just on that, but I really spent a lot of time taking him to detox and trying to help him get clean, you know. And that was a bad choice. You know, that's, we come in here and then, you know, we make bad choices. We make good choices and we make bad choices. And that was a bad choice. And just like with my using, with that situation, I spent a lot of years with that guy. And sometimes now, 10 years later, I think about, like, God, my life would have been so much better if I hadn't gotten involved with him. But, hey, it's just like using. You know, where would I have been if I didn't use? So I can't really spend a whole lot of time thinking about that. But I'm giving all these examples just to show the things that have been revealed to me since I've been here that I didn't know when I got here. And the most important thing that's been revealed to me is, you know, being able to help others. I think that's the biggest part of anything, you know, to get outside of myself. You know, thank God I can get outside of myself. Helping others and not being self-centered is, I mean, it is the greatest gift, you know. And helping people unconditionally, you know, sponsorship. Being non-judgmental on people, you know, when people do things, you can't get a better gift than helping somebody in here and watching somebody, you know, who comes in this program get clean. That is the greatest thing that's happened for me, you know, just watching people come in, get this program, and stay clean. So I'm going to close with the last paragraph in More Will Be Revealed, and it says, Narcotics Anonymous offers addicts a program of recovery that is more than just a life without drugs. Not only is this way of life better than the hell we lived, it is better than any life that we have ever known. We have found a way out, and we see it work for others. Each day more will be revealed. Thank you.
Thank you.